Good Minister, welcome. Happy to have you with us this morning. I acknowledge the fact that you may not be with us throughout the course of this morning because of other engagements, but we nonetheless appreciate the fact that you have been able to make time to be here. Nonetheless, the DG and the head of the Conservation Fund, I'm sure, in any event, there they will deal with the minutest detail, whatever issues that members may wish to raise. So what will do a committee minister? Simple, usual introductions that we know who is here from the department side, the entity, National Treasury is also here, the Auditor General, and then comrades here, members of Parliament, will introduce themselves, and then we can then discuss.
Thank you very much, Chairperson. Good morning, honorable members and the rest of the team. This is the introduction. My name is Mildred Oliphant, who is currently deployed as the Minister of Labour. But Chairperson, as I've indicated, I hope you will excuse me to leave at 10:30 because we have a cabinet committee meeting at 10:30. And next to me is Toby Lelamati. Okay.
I'm sure they.
Everybody is going to speak on this.
Yeah,
okay.
Because
thank you very much.
All right.
Morning, Honorable Chairperson and the Honorable Members. My name is Toby Lelamati. I'm the Director General of the Department of Labor.
Thank you, Chairperson and Minister of Committee. I'm Shantok Mkondo, former Commissioner of the Conservation Fund.
Good morning, Chairperson and members of the committee. My name is Ongi Zimorisa. I'm the Chairperson of the Advisory Board of Conservation Fund.
Good morning, Honourable Chairperson and members. My name is Rachel Calidas. I'm the Independent Audit Committee Chairperson of the Conservation Fund.
Good morning, Honorable Chairperson and Honorable Members. My name is Vuyo Mafata. I'm the new Acting Commissioner at the Compensation Fund.
Good morning, Honorable Chairperson and Honorable Members. My name is Eric Nyagemba. I'm the Parliamentary Liaison Officer to the Minister of Labour.
Morning, Honorable Members. My name is Paula. I'm the Director of Customer Care in the Compensation Fund.
Good morning, Honorable Chairperson and the members. My name is Buitu Melogumbu. I'm the Director Internal Audit Compensation Fund.
Good morning, Honorable Chairperson and the members. My name is Rebo van Wyk, the Director of Financial Control.
Good morning, Honorable Chairperson and Honorable Members. My name is Dick Simonotto. I'm the acting CFO at the Conservation Fund.
Good morning, Honorable Chair and Honorable Members. My name is Sapumko Matsidi, Chief Director of Corporate Support, Conservation Fund.
Good morning, Chairperson and Honorable Members. My name is Lunga Matandela. I'm Chief Operations Officer for the Conservation Fund.
Good morning, Honorable Chairperson and Honorable Members. My name is Akako Muturi, Director of Risk Management from Compensation Fund.
Good morning, Chairperson and Honorable Members. My name is Luyanda Manugu. I'm the Independent Chair of the Compensation Fund Risk Committee. Thank you.
Good morning, Honorable Chairperson and Members. My name is Malikol Ngeki. I'm the Acting Director and also the Director General.
Speaking Chair, Honourable Members, I'm Eki Miller, Deputy DG IES, Inspection Enforcement Services.
Good morning, Chair and Honourable Members. My name is Campbell Atwete, Media Lines Officer and Minister of Labour.
Good morning, Honourable Chair and Committee Members. I'm Judy Knight from National Treasury.
Good morning, Honourable Members. Nathan Gao, Auditor General of South Africa.
Good morning, Honourable Members. Shaba Gansi, AGFA.
Good morning, Honourable Members. Farhan Shamsuddin, AGFA.
Good morning, Chairperson and Honourable Members. My name is Patricio Clady from the AG's office.
Thank you. Comrades, we introduce ourselves.
I'll please member of the committee. Thank you.
Thanks, Chair. My name is Saki Keta and I'm a member of this committee.
Good morning, my name is Tabela Chilwa, member of the committee.
Thank you very much. I'm Comrade Tembo Gordi. I chair the committee. Right. Once again, we thank you, Comrade Minister, for making time. And we intend to have an early day today. We're passing the budget of Parliament today. So we want to be here as early as possible. If we're going to be delayed, it will be because officials have a lot of things to tell us. Otherwise, from our side, we have no intention to be here longer than would be necessary. I think what we're going to do, let me start by requesting that let us switch our cellular phones off. Please. Who can help it? In fact, not you can help it. Because if it goes silent, at the point that it is ringing, whatever is being said is not recorded. That's the problem. So, don't assume your phone is off. Just check it, because it always has a tendency of ringing somewhere in the middle of the year. So, please, let's just switch it off. And I know with phones that can switch off, we are not the kind of people whose phones can be switched off and must just take off the battery. In case, just to sort of take off the battery so that it is off. Comrade Khan, let me hand over to you to lead us.
Now, let's go to the chair. Maybe part of this conversation, because I'm still new, that is in Parliament here. Going through this report, I've discovered quite a number of things, but I need some clarity before I pose my questions. When more or less was this fund established, and do we have an organogram of this fund? Because I heard in the introduction there are CFOs and acting CFOs, but going through the report, there are a number of issues that one needs to look at. Maybe as an introduction, if I can get clarity, when was this fund established?
So that's a quick answer. Yes. My recollection goes well. The fund was established in 1945 as a consolidated composite fund for South Africa. Before it was different industrial fund. Gonogram, we have it on page 14 of the annual report.
Chairperson, can I be given opportunity, maybe, as a way of introduction, particularly because you'll find that the most members who are acting, one, since there were challenges in the compensation fund, I decided to establish a task team that is led by the Director General. In that task team, it also includes the Commissioner for Unemployment Insurance and the CFO of all, and also the CFO for Unemployment Insurance. But the Director General, as the leader of the task team, we've also requested the Office of the Auditor General to assist us in dealing with some of the challenges that the compensation is facing. And also we're working very closely with the Audit Committee and the Risk Management Committee, because they always give me a report almost on a monthly basis. And therefore, from there, the DG has came up with proposals based on the challenges that are there. And I think it would be better if they allow the DG just to briefly indicate what exactly has happened. I'm raising this because when the Mr. Mkondo was introducing himself as the former commissioner, I thought there was a little bit of a confusion, because I even saw the chairperson asking why is he introducing him as a former commissioner, if you allow the DG to just to explain that particular angle, and then we'll proceed. Thanks, Chair.
How long will be that explanation, DG? Okay. Okay, 120 seconds.
Thank you. Thank you so much, Honorable Chairperson and the members. As the Minister has stated, from December up until now, we have assessed the work that was done by the committee, I mean the task team that the Minister referred to. And the task team was given time frames as to when they were supposed to have concluded the work, and then the assessment would have been done to look at the effect of the interventions. And thereafter, a decision would have been made in terms of the, you know, what steps do we need to take as an organization. And after having done that careful assessment, we then decided that it is time that we effect changes at the compensation fund, and we then agreed that with effect from the 1st of June, we would remove the, Mr. Mkondo as the commissioner at the fund, but not only him, the top management of the fund would be removed and be deployed somewhere in the organization. So that's why Mr. Mkondo introduced himself as the former commissioner. We have decided that we'll take the chief financial officer of the Unemployment Insurance Fund and put him at the Compensation Fund to act as a commissioner. And that's why Mr. Vioma Fata introduced himself as the current acting Compensation Fund commissioner. And the CFO, you also heard Chairperson during the introduction that the CFO is acting. The reason that we're having an acting CFO is that we have put the CFO of the fund under suspension. Thank you, Chairperson.
Having said that, what is there to discuss now? That is why I'm always very hesitant with the presentations, because already, in 2 minutes, you are saying, we have responded to all these issues by disbanding the leadership of the compensation fund from yesterday with a new leadership in place. So, but it's fine. We deal with what killed the fish. So we look back and go back and say, what killed the patient is dead, fine. But what killed the patient? So, and well, it's unfortunate because the CFO is under suspension, so he or she can be here. But Mr. Kondo is here. He was in charge of the organization for the under review. So, in general, what happened, why it happened, rationale of it happening, I think we'll be able to talk to that. And at the end, when you say, well, this is the picture, then what? Then that's where you come in. So, no, this is what we've done. But it's okay, it's fine. So maybe at least we'll start talking with the knowledge that, okay, something has been done. Whether it's sufficient or not, how it's going to work, what time frame, I think maybe those are details that can come up in the context of, in the course of our engagement. Right. Kumutika, back to you.
Now, as a first chair, because I was slightly confused also, because the department has given us that this is the way forward. But I wanted to check, is this way forward? No, sorry, Minister. In line with the turnaround strategy that you promised us, because there is a turnaround strategy that you promised us, and when you go through the report, unfortunately, it's not even near that turnaround strategy. Because my biggest problem with the report is it is very clear that there is no leadership, there are no systems, hence, that is the audit opinion. But let me start with the revenue and receivables. When you read the AG's report, it is very clear that the AG could not obtain audit evidence for revenue from non-exchange transactions and receivables from the non-exchange transaction, as the entity did not have proper accounting records. Now, my question to the department is, do you perhaps have an archive system or an area where you keep these records? Because for you to enable the AG to come up with a proper opinion, definitely you'll have to provide the AG with supporting documents. But if you go through the report, it clearly indicates that there are no proper accounting that is records.
Yeah, and get a response to me. Well, we'll respond to each question so that we don't have a number of questions and then something get lost along the way. Record keeping. Do we have proper record keeping system? Okay, see.
The chairperson, the fund did not have a proper record system on the revenue side. Most of the information was recorded manually in files. The only recording system that we have is in the Wounded Service Management side, which is an electronic version of recording, which is through the scanning and indexing of documents. And there's a process in place to expand that process into the revenue side.
Maybe if I can also be clarified.
Yeah, continue. I don't know, I thought your mic is not on.
Is it not on?
It is but on.
You can hear me. Okay. Maybe if I can clarify, what processes do you have in order to ensure that all the employers are registered with a fund and also assessed in terms of the compensation for occupational injuries and diseases?
Thank you, Honourable Members. On the revenue side, there is a manual process to register employers that will complete the necessary forms, submit them to the fund, and those forms will then be captured on our computer system. And then a registration number will be generated, which the employer will use to submit the annual returns for the employer to be assessed as to what amount must be invoiced to that employer. However, since April 2012, we've introduced an electronic return earning system whereby employers are now able to submit their annual returns electronically on the system and get invoiced instantly. And then they make arrangements to pay the fund. And since November last year, if my question is correct, as acting CFO, you'll correct me, we have procured the services of Interrise, which is a company that was using, was assisting the UIF and the South African Revenue Services to develop the U-filing and the C-filing at SAS. And that process is going ahead as speed now. And we're due to launch, if everything goes well, within a month or two, for a complete self-registration of employers online, the generation of invoices, letters of good standing, and also the automated banking facility will be provided through that system. So it's a complete automated solution for employers. And it will deal with all these aspects of document management, because all documents will be electronic and right.
Which I still not understand. You are saying the system was introduced in April 2012, but the report that you are dealing with here is 2013-2014. But in that report, the AG picked up that you did not have, that is, those systems. Can you clarify?
Honourable members, the system that was introduced was for the submission of annual returns. Because normally in the past, employers used to complete these returns manually, send them to the fund, and the fund would capture them into the computer system to generate an invoice, which would be posted to the employer. And that was creating a lot of backlogs and consuming time and not allowing us to collect revenue upfront and faster. So we introduced this facility to be able to invoice faster so the employers can deposit their money. And I must record, put on record that with the introduction of that system, at the time we were able to invoice about 1.9 billion a year. First year of introduction of the system, we were able to invoice around 4.6 billion. As I speak now, we are invoicing in the region of about 8 and 9 billion a year based on the electronic system that we've introduced in 2012. What we picked up recently is that the employers who want to register new companies are battling because the system is still manual. They have to fill forms, submit them. That is why last year in November we procured the service of Interfile to automate the entire value chain. So that we don't have this problem again.
Okay. Chair, I'll still be interested in looking at this system, because if you look at this report, it says a different story. Maybe let's then look at allowances and impairments. The AG also is indicating that the fund did not provide proper financial performance impairment allowances in support of evidence for the assessment of impairment in accordance with CREP. That is 104. What is the situation? Because if you look at the same issue that I'm raising, it relates to the first issue that I raised, that there are no proper systems, nothing. What is the situation now? Have you maybe came up with some corrective measures? And if the answer is positive, as to from when, are you then giving us an indication that from now going forward, we are not going to get that is such issues?
Thank you, Honorable Chairperson. Just to give context to the problem, the problem is historical, derived from the manual process that we've been using. We've been having backlogs in the processing of the returns of earnings because prior to 2012, they were done manually. And as a result, we're not able to invoice correctly. And also, we had serious backlog in invoice. As a result, we estimated some of the monies that the employers were owing us. And then we created a debt book out of that. And then, because we didn't have a proper financial system, when monies come,
weren't able to indicate whether this money belonged to 2012 or belongs to 2013. So that creates an uncertainty with regard to the auditors as to this money that we've received, to which year does it belong? That's one aspect of it. The second part of it, because we have more than 400,000 employers, which is not an excuse I'm putting here, the system does not have a proper aging analysis for us to be able to determine what is recoverable and what is not recoverable. So GRAP requires that we have a process, a policy in place that must be able to achieve that. Unfortunately, at the time of this audit, those systems were not there. And I think going forward, the acting CFO is supposed to ensure that they overhaul the whole revenue management system so that we can be able to start on from scratch. I inspected the CFO last year, and he has gone to National Treasury to say, we have this challenge. It will never be resolved easily. What is available to us for us to be able to start from at least? I think that two things that National Treasury, in the meeting where I was sitting, was to say, you need to give us assurance that you have in place proper policies and system to account going forward before we could entertain the possible write-offs of the past, so that we can start from this late. So that is the process that the CFO, before his suspension, was working on.
Because that was going to be my follow-up question. Was that given to the Treasury? Because in your response, you are saying the incoming CFO or the acting CFO will have to. But that does not give me confidence that the fund is dealing with the issue. Did you provide National Treasury with that assurance?
Honorable Chairperson, I must be honest here. The reason why we're to come back from National Treasury is because my CFO and myself could not provide them with the assurance. So we are requested to go back. Just to give a slight context, we were trying to move away from accrual to cash accounting, just like South African Revenue Services and the UIF, because the accrual system is very difficult to manage. It required a lot of gap interpretations and all that. So we were trying to move towards cash basis. And because we have these challenges with the AG that are historical, we then said impairment is a possible write-off that you can do. This is a debt book that you say I may not recover. Now, if we were to request the National Treasury to approve the write-offs, because we're sitting with a debt book of around 8 billion, how much must it be written off? What guarantees do you have that money is not recoverable? How much of it can be recovered when? So I think those are the things that we need to satisfy the Treasury before they could consider allowing us to move towards a hedge-based system for accounting for revenue.
But you're giving me a particular answer. The question is very simple. Did you provide Treasury with that assurance? That's all what I need.
Through Honorable Chairperson, I must be honest here, I didn't provide, and this is an assignment that I've given the CFO to go and work on.
DJ, I think you'll have to come in here and assist us. If that is the case, where more or less are we going to remedy this situation?
Thank you, Chair, and the Honorable Members. Chair, all the interventions that we're trying to make at the compensation fund, we're hoping that, let me be specific, this one, this is June, I think in the next month or so, which is July, would have interacted with the National Treasury. In fact, I had a conversation with the Accountant General to provide financial support to the compensation fund, because largely the reason why we have these problems that we have is because we have a very weak financial capabilities at the compensation fund. So between myself and the Office of the Accountant General, we will be working on providing the necessary financial capabilities at the compensation fund. So by end of July, we would have dealt with this matter, Honorable Johnson.
No, at least that's the right timelines, so that we can measure you. The touches on that. Let's also look at the benefit paid. What tool did you use in order to account for all the claims for the current and prior year? Because the AG was unable also to determine any adjustment required, that is, to benefits paid, stated at 2.7 billion for 2014. And 1.9 billion for 2013.
Thank you, Honourable Member, and through you, Honourable Chairperson. We had two systems that we're using in the financial year concerning 2013-14. It was the e-claims and the ICM, that's Integrated Claims Management System. And then we're using the SAP financial system for payment. How the system works, the three systems are not integrated. They're not talking to each other. What transpired is that you will be paying claims using the ETM system. And then you'll also be paying claims using the ICM system. And they all go through the SAP financial system for payment. Now, what Auditor General picked up is that there were not proper reconciliations done in order to account for the monies that the financial system has paid out. I'll give an example. A claims officer will approve a claim, let's say, for 1 million. Claims 1 million rands on the ICM system. And then the self-financial system will pay 900,000. There's a difference of 100,000. That difference will be attributed to maybe insufficient banking details on the service provider which we're trying to pay one of them. So there is what I call a return from the bank that says, we could not pay you your 1 million, only pay 900 because there are no sufficient banking details for this one person. Now, what your claim system is saying I've paid 1 million, but the financial system says I've paid 900,000. So that difference is why the AD was saying that there was no proper reconciliation to account for those differences and to provide him with sufficient detail that the amounts that are reflected in the financials as paid are actually the amount that was paid because the two systems are not talking the same language.
It might be possible that a beneficiary would be paid twice, because they're using two different systems that don't talk to each other.
In the event where the reconciliations are done timeously, that possibility could be eliminated. However, in the case where reconciliations are not done, that possibility exists. I will not deny that.
What I'm doing to reconcile the two?
Chairperson, I've identified the problem, and in August 2014, on 1st of August, we proposed the use of a new claims management system, and we closed the two other systems that we used before, and the system is fully integrated. So what the claims system says is paying. That's why the financial system will tell you it's paying. Because the current system will not pay if there's the discrepancy between what the claim system says is paying and what is to go to the bank. I'll give an example. The system forces users to reconcile before a bank run can happen. In a normal scenario, you find that the claimant will pay a service provider who does not have banking details. So when they want to run the payment to the bank, the system will say, I don't reconcile because there's one person who I don't have the banking details. I cannot push a transaction through. So there's a discrepancy. So the user is forced to reconcile on the spot so that he's able to reverse those payables that are not going to be paid. Only those that are going to be paid will go through. So the system will be fully reconciled. What sits in the financial system and what sits in the same system should be equal.
That is in the annual report on page 84. There is an acknowledgement.
Page 84.
Yeah, it's page 84. Where are the pages? I was also sabotaged until the time that I looted my hackers because I was not given this report. There is an acknowledgement. That is from ourselves, that there are no internal controls. If you look at, that is most of my questions, they are based on the internal controls. I would also refer to the DG here. DG, give yes. Assessment of the office. I heard you earlier on, you spoke about the general strategy. I'm still coming back to that. What is it that you do that is to correct this whole thing? Because if you look at the whole report, that is where the problem is. And fortunately, there is an acknowledgement, and I appreciate it. Now, what are you doing? With very clear timelines, please indicate to us that this is what we are going to do. And next time when we call you here, I mean, we won't be having that is the same problem.
Thank you, Chair, and the honorable members. Chairman, it's correct that we acknowledge that the compensation fund is in a very serious situation. It's a very sick patient. The number of these are the following steps that we have taken. One with effect from the 1st of December, we put together a task team that looks at the challenges of the compensation fund. Firstly, the idea was to look at what is it that we can do to respond to the issues that the AG raised. We then changed the objectives and we said, look, it's not going to help us if we focus solely on the issues that the AG has raised. The focus for us should be to make the organization to do what it's supposed to do under normal circumstances without focusing on what the AG says. We use the AG report as a basis for launching the interventions that we want to make at the fund. We then decided that, Jefferson, that the first thing that we will do as indicated earlier on, that we will change the management of the fund. And that's why we have replaced the commissioner. But not only the commissioner, the top management of the entire fund. We will have, because the issues that we have with the compensation fund, we are of the view that they cannot be attributed to a single individual. I think that the leadership of the fund has to take collective blame for that. So what we go to do going forward is with the acting commissioner, what we've picked up first is the compensation fund does not have the necessary resources to do the work that it has to do. Firstly, it doesn't have the human resources it has to do. If you go to medical case,
that's fine. Otherwise we'll have a lengthy presentation on the details of each session. But it's now, well, you changed the leadership from yesterday, we have new people. So we hope that there will be improvement from now going forward. Would you say to us you had an effective, that is, risk management?
Yes, Chair. We do have a very effective risk management unit. I think it's one of the strongest points and strongest units in the compensation fund.
Do you mind go to page 84 and read the last sentence on effective risk management?
Two cases were referred to the magistrate courts.
to the tune of about 2.1 million rands one case. The other one was to the tune of about 476,000 rands. Also, there were cases that were referred to the Commercial Crimes Court. Two cases, one to the tune of about 479,000, and the other one was referred also. And the last appearance of this one was on the 13th of May 2015. We have been able to finalize 58 cases to date, to the tune of about 4.6 million rands. We have been able to dismiss out of these cases a number of staff members. I think three dismissed, one was not found guilty, and two were given warnings and suspension without pay, and one was found guilty, and we're just waiting for the report to communicate outcome. And just before we came here, the DG already announced that outcome was a dismissal of the candidate. And our case numbers that we can make available if members request to make them available.
We definitely need that. And in each case, and you indicate as to what was the transgression, how did you deal with it, and what was the outcome. It's just a little list of that. There was an issue from Honorable Boy earlier on when I posed the question as to what is the department doing in terms of all these issues that we have faced. That maybe we need to check with you as to is it necessary for us to proceed. But I think let him represent himself, that is, in terms of that question. Because I think we dealt with the question earlier on before you arrived.
Yeah, before you arrived. Yeah, no. It's fine. Honorable Leaf.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Mr. Chairman, I don't know really where to start. Minister. And so let me start with the now former commissioner. Baba Nkonto, 20 years, Bowenza Lomsevenza. And yet your last report that we have, every single figure in your report was wrong. Every single one. And I don't know how that's possible. I just don't know how it's possible. I understand that the minister has taken drastic action with management of the commission. But, Father, I would have thought you would have given up some time ago and said, listen, I can't fix this thing, let me go. And I'm concerned that there's been a redeployment rather than a let go of people who quite clearly failed. And perhaps that should be dealt with by the DG and the minister. But, Commissioner, or former commissioner, how is it possible to get all these figures wrong? If you look at your report on page 6, I'm suggesting that's your main report, but this whole document is actually your report. Everything is your report. You are the accounting officer, as I understand it. I'm sad that the acting DG, Muratava, is not here, because he gives, if you read his report, you'd think everything was fine. It's four paragraphs. There's no problem. So I don't know how he could do that, give that, either say I don't know, or say it isn't their big problems, but to give a report that's actually whitewashed. Sorry, my apologies, Mr. Chairman, I'm rambling.
Thank you, Honourable Member, Mr. President. Let me admit this is an indictment on me. I discovered this when the Auditor General came to give us a preliminary report. Remember, on the 31st of May, we submit a report on the General. And
The Chief Financial Officer submitted this report to the Auditor General. It's only after it was submitted when Auditor General made it clear to me that your CFO didn't do quality control on these financials. What we can see is a cut and paste from the 2012-18 financial year. I have ever tried to intervene to correct the situation, but the Auditor General was not able to accept my intervention. I'll indicate the requirement as per the Public Finance Management Act is that what we give the AG on the 31st of May must be a draft report that they must audit. So this is what they've audited. And unfortunately, they could not accept my changes. That is why we've seen this report that we've put numbers in brackets in order to minimize the impact. And this is one of the reasons also where subsequently I did an investigation to determine who was responsible for this. And the CFO was found to be responsible. And this is one of the charges that we are putting against him for the offenses that he has committed, more than this one only.
Thanks, Mr. Cronje. The AG on page 114, and I'm using this, even though it's to some extent has been dealt with, but Mr. Cronje, you've just reported that you think the disciplinary cases and everything have been running well. But if you look through the report, first of all, you'll find that the staff turnover is very low, that in this report there were 4 dismissals out of 71 cases that committee was dealing with. And the Auditor General on page 104 says, the Commissioner did not hold management accountable for poor service delivery and poor audit outcomes. This resulted in no improvement in key controls. And I put it to you, Commissioner, that the reason that your staff turnover is so low is it's a very comfortable place to work. There are no consequences. And so, Madam Minister and DG, I'm trying to just emphasize the point a little bit about the lack of consequences, real consequences, for the top management. And if we aren't seen to be taking real steps, not simply redeployment, what message is that sending to the whole staff complement in this fund? That it's okay, we mess up, the consequences are redeployment perhaps or none. Is that the picture? Am I painting the right picture or am I wrong?
DG. Thank you, Chairperson. You remember, Chairperson, that in the last appearance of the department to the SCOPA committee, the minister made mention of the fact that there's a SIU, she reported the matter to the SIU and there will be SIU investigation. Indeed, there is an investigation that is underway. We tried our level best not to preempt what would be the outcome of the investigation. So we are awaiting the outcome of the investigation, and we will act, when we see the recommendations of the investigation. So it may just be that this is not the last act that we are making as a minister and myself. This could not be the last intervention that we are making. So we are waiting with keen interest to get the outcome of the investigation.
DG, I hear what you're saying, but what you're talking about is kind of fraud. I mean, the SIU is not investigating, I wouldn't think it's investigating a lack of performance. It would presumably be investigating fraud, corruption, illegal activities. Surely there's a case for simply on a lack of performance for there to be consequences, irrespective of what may come out of the SIU investigation.
That's correct, Chairperson. What we thought that we would do, and maybe the message that we're trying to send out to the general staff and the management in general and the department, is that we are not going to tolerate, incompetence. If you're given an opportunity to do work, you must take your responsibilities seriously. The compensation fund, if we were to take any other drastic steps, it would require us to dismiss everybody who's there, the compensation fund. And I don't think that if we do that, it would help us to, help us in the work that we want to do to turn around the fortunes of the compensation fund. So we thought that what would be best for us at this stage is to remove management at the compensation fund. And you're right, maybe they were comfortable where they were, and we thought that by removing them taking them out of their comfort zones, move them to and give them different responsibilities, they will realize that they have to, in the new responsibility, they have to do their best. Otherwise, if they don't do that, there will be consequences. And the message that we're sending, yesterday at Chairperson, I was addressing the staff, the compensation fund, that whoever is not doing his work, his days at the compensation fund are numbered. So from now going forward, we will not tolerate any lack of performance and people not taking their responsibilities very seriously, because we're not doing justice to the people that we support and serve.
Thanks, DG. Mr. Chairman, could the DG just give me some background to the role of the board? It's an advisory role, as I understand from the report. And perhaps Commissioner Conto, or former Commissioner Conto, can also help, because we spent just on R1 million on commissioners' allowances and emoluments. We seem to have had the current commissioners, advisory board members, sorry, not commissioners, seem to have had 3 meetings. And those 3 meetings cost in the year and the review, not since, I'm talking about just that year, those meetings cost us 558,000. According to them. Now, what is the role of this board given the very serious position that the fund finds itself in? Do we need them? They seem to be completely ineffective. And I'll move on to the audit committee.
Chairperson, the role of the advisory board is to advise the minister on policy related matters in as far as the compensation fund is concerned. They also, because they are not an executive board, they don't interfere in the day-to-day running of the compensation fund. So their role is purely to look at issues relating to policy and governance. Now, as to the total number of meetings that they have, I think I'll give that to the commissioner and the chairperson of the board is here to respond to that. I just want to respond to the comment you made, honourable member, that the board seems to be ineffective. There are a number of reasons that would render a board, to be ineffective.
Their advisors are more on policy-related issues.
Yes.
So that might not have a lot of impact on the area of interest to other committees.
Thank you, DG. Yeah, that does help, because I wasn't sure what the role was. But in terms of the costs, that does have an impact on this committee and why the board cost us so much. Whether or not it was effective or ineffective, we'll get back to that. I know the Audit Committee Chair is here. Now, the Audit Committee report, I can just find it, my apologies, Mr. Chair. It's on page 92. Well, the station I want to look at is page 92. If you look at through page 92, it's a very negative report. And I think we all know that. But my question to the chairman of the chairperson of the Audit Committee is, it's all very well to report negatively. What happened during the year? What action was taken during the year to try and fix these issues that were clearly not being dealt with? I mean, was there a meeting held with the minister of the day? I think, Mama, you've been minister then too, or am I wrong? Did you sort of escalate this to ministerial level, to presidential level, to DA level for that matter? But no, that was a joke.
Yeah.
Thank you. Through you, Honourable Chairperson, the Audit Committee has been very firm and assertive. You'll know that we actually stepped in as the Audit Committee in October of that year. In May, we did not receive financial statements timely, and again in July. So we actually expressed our disappointment and satisfaction. We realize that management does not have the technical financial capacity to be able to prepare accurate financial information and reports. So for that reason, we recommended to the Commissioner and to management that a firm of chartered accountants be brought on board to build technical capacity internally. So for this past financial year, May 2015, the consultants were able to support management and ensure that financial statements were prepared and submitted on time. So there has been momentum. It's just that it's taken a bit long. We have regular meetings with the minister as well as with the new DG to escalate our concerns. We also discuss recommendations and corrective action going forward. So we believe that the solution that have been tabled by the DG takes into account the recommendations that we have made to him as well. Thank you, dear.
Thanks, Madam Chair of the Audit Committee. Mr. Chairman, I'm not sure whether to go into the technical details, but I'll let you guide me. For instance, the Commission paid out a huge amount of money, 500 million odd, I'll find the page just now, in advance payments to service providers on the basis that they were facing huge legal or court action claims. And so the question is, I think we know, I was going to say why, but I think we know why. But the question then becomes, why was that the solution? And I, in the corridors, hear that there are many, many court orders which have not been adhered to, and that people have to go back to court to try and force the Commission to pay. Is that true? And if so, you know, why was it so? We pay out 500 million to try and protect our banks, and I know that going to court costs a lot of money, so it makes sense to deposit money to stop the court action, I suppose. But I don't know if that's legal. The National Treasury might be able to tell us whether that was a legal action taken or not. So, Mr. Chairman, I'm not getting into specific financial issues. I'm keen to hear the answers, but is it constructive?
Thank you, Chairperson and Honourable Members. Just to put a context into this, the payment was meant to be payment on invoice because we were not allowed to pay in advance for services not rendered. What transpired was that the NCFO agreed with the service providers who had made the submission that they should give a spreadsheet of the claim numbers and the amounts without supporting invoices. I think that's where the problem occurred. Because when the Auditor General audits, we'd like to know what is the
supporting documents for this month that we have paid out. Unfortunately, at the time, we only had spreadsheets, not the real invoices. And the recommendation of the Auditor General, I did take action. And I think the CFO was removed. And the process was put in place to get the necessary supporting documents. An investigation was conducted on the recommendation of the Audit Committee. And there were actions that were taken, but as a result of the Minister's intervention to refer the matter to the SIU, we could not proceed with consequent management on others because we were subject of the SIU investigation. So we then allowed that they be held in abeyance until SIU has completed the report. I must indicate that most of the service providers have. We have since reconciled. However, it is in the case of, I think, Comsol and Netcare, where we have not yet completed the process, and SIU is busy assisting us in getting those service providers to come and cooperate in ensuring that we will get the source documents to be able to reconcile this amount completely. But we're keeping it in our books, recorded as much is owed to us. So, yes, some have paid back that money. It's only in those cases where we still have them, but SIU is assisting us to complete the process.
Thanks very much. So, this is something, money was paid out in the 2013-14 year. We're now into the 2015-16 year, and it still hasn't been reconciled, and service providers sitting with money which may not be theirs. It may be taxpayers' money, and they're not paying any interest on it. Thanks. You know, why I'm emphasizing this a little bit, my wife's been waiting on a claim since 2013. Now, she hasn't gone to court yet, but we don't even get an acknowledgement of the claim, let alone anything else after Lisa. So I was flabbergasted to see that the big guys get a $500 million payout in advance, but the little guys, and mine's not unique, I'm told, by doctors in my little town of Ladysmith in Lambeti, that it's, if they don't go through some kind of queue walker, they're not likely to get their money. And my own doctor is very, very reluctant to take on any cases which involve claims from the Compensation Commission. Sure, that was just a statement, I think. I don't think there's much that can be said about it, but the point's been made about different treatment for different people, depending on whether they go to court or not. But the other question was, what is the record of complying with court orders? Is it true that court orders have been ignored? And if so, why?
Thank you, through you, Honorable Chairperson. Indeed, there were cases where there were warrants of arrest, which is a result of non-compliance with the court order. We have instituted a process where we've gone through all the cases and we've cleared all those, and where we had not complied, the director, we just have a new director who's just come to assist us. What we have indicated is that all those cases where there was no compliance, we need to know who's responsible so that we can take action against those people. Because these cases, basically, they come through the state attorney. So we need to go through the state attorney to indicate just who were they communicating with in the field and not getting the necessary response. So that process is unfolding.
Thanks, Mr. Chairman. So, basically what you're saying is that no one in leadership deliberately refused to adhere to court orders. There's some junior official who didn't communicate or didn't do the right thing. Is that basically what you're saying?
Indeed, I'll indicate that it is officials, and I don't have evidence of any of my management not complying. However, if indeed we to find that they would be involved, I think the same should happen there.
Thanks, Mr. Conte. Thank you very much. Mr. Chairman, I have so much to go through, but let me just, I want to talk a little bit about the return of earnings, the electronic. I mean, I did one this weekend. And may I congratulate you on the fact that there is such a facility. And I'm very pleased to hear that you're engaging the e-filing consultants. The e-filing one is not as friendly, but yours is very unfriendly. It's relatively simple, but very unfriendly. If I wasn't kind of financially literate and computer literate, and I'm doing one return a year, I'd battle with it. But well done, it is there, and I paid 3,500 rand that had to be paid immediately, and I can now record that three on inky is or vulgar for linking. And so that's very good. DG, please, it's got to be more user-friendly. It's really got to be more user-friendly. So that's my plea. It's a comment. It's a compliment that it's there at all. That is a major step forward. And, of course, the registration process has also got to be electronified, if that is that a word. But so that's a compliment and a plea, Mr. Chairman. Mr. Chairman, I think I'm going to close here. I hear Chair Lady or Chair of the Audit Committee talking about, and I think it's in somewhere in your report, the appointment of a firm of accountants. I'm not sure which one it is. Is it one of the Big Four? They've been there for a year. I'm not hearing any comfort about whether the 2014-15 opinion of the Auditor General is going to be any better than the previous year. Now, I'm not sure who should answer that, whether they have been effect. I'm sure they have cost a huge amount of money. I know that these big firms have a reputation and do good work, but they also have enormously exorbitant and, in my opinion, sometimes immoral charges that go with it to support the but I mean that's a factor of the market there. It's gonna be an expensive exercise. How effective has it been in the year that's finished? It just finished.
Thank you, through you, Chairperson. There were delays within the organization in terms of the appointment of the firm. So the firm was only appointed on the 7th of May this financial year. So they've been in office for 3 weeks up to the point of the submissions of 2015. They have been able to prepare financial statements using the information available to them. We've recommended that they focus on quick wins on the certification items that can be removed in this financial year. Certain items are more long-term regarding the internal control system, for example, your claims or revenue. That may take 2 to 3 years to be resolved. A firm that has been appointed is a medium-priced firm, so their overhead structure is, you know, is more substantially reasonable, so their fees are being managed. We're also very firm on the capacity building, the skills transfer to management to ensure that there is actually capacity that's built while the consultants are actually going to be phasing off in the next year.
I'm kind of distressed to hear that they only appointed 3 weeks ago, because in your report, you state that subsequent to the financial year end, and 3 weeks ago is subsequent, but a long way subsequent, a firm of chartered accountants have been appointed. Now, when you wrote this report, was prior to 3 weeks ago. It was last year. And you're reporting that they had been appointed, and now you're telling us they were appointed 3 weeks ago. How did that happen?
Thank you. Through you, sir, just to confirm, when this report was written, there was another firm which was appointed. You know, I wouldn't mention names, but that is one of the reasons behind the suspension of the CFO. That firm which was appointed at the time of this report being written, unfortunately, did not yield the desired outcome. They were there for a few months. We did not see any tangible progress. There was a fall-off between the CFO at that time as well as the consultants. That firm actually then resigned in December of last year.
So because of the backlog as well as the vacuum created by the removal of the previous consultants, the second team of consultants was appointed in May this year.
Thank you very much. That does clarify it. But DG, does that mean that the costs of that failed appointment now become wasteful expenditure?
Honorable member, in a way, yes, it becomes one, and that is why the CFO has been suspended.
I'm going to like with DG. He's straight to the point. Doesn't try hard things. I'm looking for. Well, I hope we don't have you back here, but if we do, thank you very much for your and to you, but thank you very much. We have some DGs here last week, really. You just want to run away. Mr. Chairman, I'm sorry, I'm being naughty, and you're not putting me on my face. You're not showing me. Mr. Chairman, I just want to close by saying that I have had a bad experience with Corset over a long time. So I thought I'd test it on my way to this meeting this morning. So as I was putting my jacket on in my office to come here, I dialed the call center and I put it on speakerphone and I got into the lift with a chair and it was on speakerphone telling me how important my call was. And I came into here and some of you might have heard it talking to me as I walked in here. And eventually the Honourable Minister sort of young being a leather, so I switched it off and it was never answered. We can't operate like that. We really can't. I would suggest, DG and Mr., that there's room here to privatize some of the functions of the fund. I mean, I'll give you the example of PAMED, our medical aid for MPs. We don't trust state officials of that. We give it to MedScheme to minister. Well, that's my opinion anyway. There might be other reasons that other people have for that. And may I suggest that going forward, that rather than bringing in expensive consultants who don't work, who don't transfer skills, I mean, that's a cry that we've had as MPs as long as I've been in the Parliament, which isn't all that long, since 2009, it just doesn't seem to work. And yet there are service providers who successfully administer funds. Similar, not exactly the same, but similar. I would really urge that this committee consider such a resolution for you and DG for you to look into that. So, Mr. Chairman, thank you very much for the patience of everyone involved and of your own indulgence. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you, comrades. Any follow-up questions from members of the committee?
Thank you, Chair. Good morning, colleagues, Minister and the delegation. Chair, I apologize at the outset. The flight from Durban was a bit delayed and the weather was not kind to us on our way here, so my apologies on that front. Chair, The chair of the audit committee speaks about consultants, and I'm not a fan of consultants because I don't think we need to substitute people that we have hired and paying them money every month with consultants. Because as far as I'm concerned, consultants are there to do the work in which we do not have the expertise and technical capabilities or the capacity. But we are seated with people who are earning a salary every month. And they're earning money. And then we decide, oh no, because it's the taxpayer's money, it's okay. If it was a business, we'd do that. It's the taxpayer's money. He won't say anything. He'll be quiet. Let's just keep those people in their comfort zone and we'll get somebody else to do their job. I really don't think that is fair. Maybe fair is that term I use is an understatement. but for lack of a better word now, that's just one of the major concerns that I have. Because if we get trapped in this cult of consultants, we create a laissez-faire attitude and we promote the realism of duty. The second point, is that the former commissioner spoke about the mistakes being picked up by the Auditor General. So, had the Auditor General not actually been there, I'm inclined to believe then that the mistakes would have been picked up. But then it goes back to what are people doing on a day-to-day basis? Why must these mistakes be picked up at the very end of the process, at submission, when they should be month-on-month, quarter-to-quarter, and year-on-year assessments and submissions and all sorts of other things that go with financial managers? And I think that on its own, on maybe on other links, there's consultants on one side, but we have a situation whereby an entire report is based on a problem. And I don't, with all due respect to the Commission, expect that we would put this on the shoulder of the CFO. Whilst they still might have been responsible, but the final authority, as far as I'm concerned, is not the CFO. Who signed off on those other financials that are submitted to the Auditor General? Somebody somewhere is not doing their job. And then you mitigate that situation by then substituting with consultants. And it's a huge loss. So I think we really need to arrive at a situation where we understand whether the people in position are actually qualified enough and have got the capabilities to do the work that they're supposed to do. So we don't waste taxpayers' money on consultants who are in it not for the job but to make a profit. Thanks, sir.
Yeah, no. I want to respond to the issues raised, even though we made them as a statement. Otherwise, we'll just end up making statements.
Chairperson, on the issue of the consultants, we've taken a view as a department that we don't want the fund to be run by the consultants. We are in the process of phasing their contracts out as we build the key competencies in the different areas of the fund, as I mentioned earlier, on finance and medical claims and all other areas. Even the ICT space as well. We'll be building our internal capacity and there won't be any reliance on consultants. I can assure the committee on with regards to that. I'll ask Mr. Mkhon to respond to the second point of your comment. Thanks.
And you accept that the senior authority is held accountable for all the sins. However, this space of financial numbers is a technical space. You rely on the numbers that your experts give you to say these are numbers. For example, on my statement, the number, financial numbers I put there were the numbers that were provided by the experts. And it was only when the AG appeared before the Audit Committee to say, I see worms in these numbers. And I then became aware that the numbers that are on the report are not tying with the numbers on the financial statements that was given to the Auditor General.
But your financials before submission to the Auditor General, do they pass by your audit committee to pay the check?
Yeah, they do go through the audit committee. What goes through the audit committee is the financial report, that is your statements of financial performance, financial position, and cash flow statement. Now, when we submit to the AG, we submit that what the audit committee has approved.
No, that's fine. I just want to check with the audit committee. Pass through them. But what do you do when it comes to what you check I'm now looking at the auditors, so go to the auditor general. And that's where the statement are picked up.
Thank you, Jay. If one looks at my audit committee report that we presented, the audit committee did not prove the financial statements we received. We detected the material misstatements. We detected the number of errors that were in the financial statements that were so materially flawed that we reviewed them in detail, and because of the errors, we did not approve them at May and in July, which is a report that we referred to the Auditor General as well. So when the AG received the financials, they had our disclaimer, not approving them as well.
Right, Mr. Conte. Can this is your turn?
I did confirm that those financials go through the audit committee. However, we have a responsibility.
No, that's fine. What I'm coming to is you sent financials to the audit committee, they picked up mistakes, sent them back to you, then what happened?
Then we have to submit those financials by the final date with the corrections that we have made.
So from the audit committee, we've identified errors, were corrections made?
I believe those corrections were made, but correctly made, and then I had to comply, and I submitted the financials. When the financials were submitted, and then that's when it was brought to my attention that there are
from the audit committee, the mistakes that they had found were not brought to your attention from the audit committee before they even went to the auditor's office.
I sit in the audit committee. So they'll not be able to say these numbers is supposed to be 5, that number is supposed to be 12. Why they basically ask questions on the financials, and then the basis of the answers they get, then they make a conclusion that they could not align this.
I had indicated that what happens to the month-on-month, quarter-to-quarter reporting. But I refuse to believe that, and if that is the case, then the system is entirely wrong, that all these things be picked up at the end of the process. That's totally unacceptable. And I think that when mistakes are brought, I mean, the audit committee could not in good faith bring mistakes forward and have those mistakes not corrected. I mean, even on the basis of probing questions, it should have alerted somebody that something was wrong and we should have been corrected. I don't think that, you know, on the surface of it, this response makes any sense at all, because it speaks to a lack of due process during the entire year. What is being done during the entire year?
All right. Comrade Swane, Comrade Boy, Comrade Kuno.
Thank you, Chairperson. My first question will go to the chair of the audit committee based on the response in terms of the consumption that you said you're not going to mention any name. I think we'll be an assistance to us as this committee, because we're dealing with so many departments and we've got a problem of consultants, if we can get that name so that we're able to check. The second one, Chair, is a follow-up on the revenue and receivables, the one that was asked by the Honorable Ketan. I'm trying to check here in terms of the records which did not permit the application of the adequate alternative auditing procedures regarding the revenue and receivables. Because when you check, even in the prior year, it was an issue which was raised by the AG, and as well as this year. And as I remember the last time you appeared before this committee, it was a matter which we did raise. And if you look at the figures, they've really gone up in terms of the revenue from the net exchange, just gone to 8.1 million, while the previous year it was 7.1 million. And the other one on the non-exchange, it's 1.4. I just want to check, I don't know whether maybe the CFO will suspend it, but probably the CFO will suspend it. Doesn't work alone. Mr. Mkonto, you remember when we had this kind of discussion as well, you really promised that you'll make a turnaround, which you also talk about. But the other thing that you said you're going to do is the submitting of the Botelli reports. But taking from what you were just saying, it seems as if then after the meeting, the books really were just thrown away. And then after realizing that now you're supposed to come and appear before the committee, that's why then you say we got to put some of the things in place, which is not convincing for me, Chairperson. I thought I won't be able to talk today because I'll have a heart attack, you remember last time. But for us to go forward, I just wanted to understand that. And who is responsible actually? Is the CFO alone or with some other officials? And what has happened to the other officials? Thank you.
Okay. Yeah.
Good morning, sir. Good morning, Commissioner. Yes. I thought that DG, with due respect to that, sir, when you came here, you might have read the PRMA. It is a guiding document. And how we deal with the accounting officer. We are in the accounting office. It was quite interesting to receive the Commissioner, but in terms of the PFMA, you remain the accounting officer. And you need to take full responsibility for what is going on. And quite clearly, when we sit, it's important that we deal this matter with you, because you see, even the audit committee itself is so dissatisfied when he spoke to the auditor general. If you read on page 92, on the monthly quarter management report, the audit committee was, because the audit committee is dissatisfied with the content and quality of monthly report prepared and issued by compensation during the year under review. Now, I understand the response of your commissioner, which is quite a bit arrogant. It's very arrogant. Because you sit in everything that happened to compensation, but you sit in the audit committee, you give reports here. So you are the compensation fund. That's why it's a disaster. That's why it's a disaster, because you are everything in that organization. And you can't expect us on the expense of taxpayers to listen to you. You see, taxpayers are paying you. It's not your personal money. I think you should understand. And we are sitting with a disaster here. You see? You understand this? And Scopa has visited you. You see, this is how we get the disillusionment. Scopa has visited you. The Treasury has spoken to you. The audit general is reflective of an organization. What you are saying in your own words, it's just the organization. It doesn't exist. You see? But this is taxpayers' money. See, we are celebrating 21 years of being a democratic country. But the compensation fund has gone down, which ordinary people, the poor of the poor, are not benefiting their money here. Now you are asking the Treasury to say get rid of 8 million. This is what this commissioner is saying. Now tell me, I mean, in a very normal mind, how to come to such a decision? Normally, in real life, I mean, because I want to understand 8 billion, it means that there's somebody behind the man who must earn that money. So how does this country come to such a decision? Because even Treasury would have to question them if they push you to go that direction of writing off that debt. What will happen to them? And those people who are supposed to have benefited, what happened to them? Would you give us a sense what happens to this type of a decision? Because you see, this is parliament, it's personal relations. We're guided by laws here, and we've got an obligation that we, or even how sincere you are, we have to get the law to work. You see, for me, I'm very worried when I arrive at the state where it becomes personal. But with me, we have to maintain the law, and the law, which is guided by the PFMA, it's quite clear that accounting office are the first thing that you look at. Then you come to the rest. You see, for you, the affair management just doesn't resolve our problem. You see, both I'm looking at the type of people that we deal with. These are South Africans. What is wrong? That's my second question. What has gone wrong for you to even have spoken to them yesterday? They don't have a good chestnut. These are South Africans. They've got families. They've got kids like the one that are supposed to benefit. Explain to us, what is the problem? Because even if you bring consultants, I mean, even if you bring in private companies, they don't turn around. What is the problem, DJ? So that they can listen to you. Explain this opinion, explain this view of what is the problem. Because you can't put people on the street with the hope that yeah, I've got big employment numbers, unemployment numbers. And you say, let's add them to that.
Okay. Colleague Kuno?
Thank you, Chairperson. I'm sorry for being late. Hey, winter problem. Winter problem. Hey, Chairperson. I heard the TD saying the CFO is suspended, but he is not telling us how he rectified his mistakes. I'm just a simple person. I'm asking a very simple way so that maybe the question will be much clearer to them. But the other thing, I also had a problem about your consultants, especially if your employees have increased their bonuses. The bonuses that have been increased of the same job that they've been given to your consultants. But they have their bonuses increased 70% from previous years. So we're not even sure how much have they been given right now. But the DG also said that you are phasing them out. You are phasing the consultants out. What I actually want to, I think you will have a list of consultants that you would use right now. If you can avail that to a committee and a contract, when did they start and when are they going to end? Because if you say you are passing them out and you're trying to, because if you breach contracts, you are going to pay the government. So it's not going to solve the problem. So what we want you to know is that when they send contracts, when were they are expiry date of the contracts? And how sure are we that you are not going to renew their contracts? Do you have systems in place or people in place who can actually do what you have contracted them to do for the state? But again, Chairperson, my problem is, you know, like I said, simple thing. How do you work between as the internal audit committee? And I forgot to contact. I came late. I don't know. The third gentleman, what is his name again?
The third gentleman.
Yes. After the DG, Mr. Mkondo. Mr. Mkondo.
The second gentleman.
Yeah, the second gentleman. Oh, sorry. Sorry, Minister. Sorry, Minister. He says, I have disclaimed you. And the gentleman said, but I sit in the audit committee. What is the real thing? How do you communicate amongst each other? How often do you meet with the audit committee? Because I don't think your role is to compete who's right and who's wrong, but you need to be advising each other because you are there on a compensation from government, you know, taxpayers' money. So you need to be working together and making sure that at the end of the day, the problem is actually solved. Comrade Shivani earlier on said, you had the same problem again. It's not the first time that we have this problem. So I think communication is the problem. How can you, in front of the minister today, how can you actually say to this committee, from now on we're going to communicate. We're not going to come to this committee with different ideas. If you give something to him and say, this is the problem. Comrade Shivani earlier on talked about month to month, year to year. I think it's just, I'm just being simple. How do you communicate every day? How do you make sure that what you are giving him is actually what he can understand and rectify those mistakes? Thank you, Chair.
Maybe let's get response then we'll come to the committee.
Thank you, Chair. The issue relating to the audit committee dissatisfaction with the quarterly report, I think it is something that the person we will be paying special attention to. In the 2015-16 financial year, for instance, we've made it a point that we changed the strat plan and the APB of the compensation fund to reflect the work that the compensation fund is supposed to do. In the past, 2013-14, you would have noticed that 95% of the key indicators of the compensation fund were purely based on the work which is done by the support services, and only 5% of that was reflecting the work that the fund is supposed to do. In the 2015, we've tried to change that so that the fund's performance is based on mandate of the fund. So it's something that Chairperson will monitor and on a regular basis, working with the audit committee and the compensation fund as well. The 8 billion, I'm going to call it the 8 billion saga, Honorable Chairperson. I think that earlier on the commissioner explained that, or the former commissioner explained that they were supposed to have gone back to the National Treasury to explain to National Treasury that of this 8 billion, what is the portion of that 8 billion which could be recovered. And this is the exercise that the Compensation Fund did not do. I'd like to make this undertaking that immediately after we leave here, this is the exercise that the Compensation Fund will do, because we need to find out exactly what goes into that 8 billion. And we'll come back and provide the answers to the committee. I agree with the honourable member that it doesn't really look good at all. We should not be seen to be wasting government money, especially money that is supposed to be benefiting the workers. We should do our best to make sure that we manage these funds in a manner that in line with the Public Finance Management Act. So we'll look into the matter, Honorable Chairperson, and we'll provide feedback to the committee. What is happening at the fund? Why are we having the challenges that we have? In the last 6 months since I was appointed as a DG, when I gave the state of the operating environment generally in the department, including the compensation fund, I put up that as management and general employees do not necessarily work together. There is generally the relationship between management and the general staff, especially at the compensation fund, is at the all-time low. Now, this could be attributed to a number of things. One, when you're introducing something new, you need to do what is called change management. So a number of noble ideas have been introduced to change the compensation fund. And as management, as top management in the department, we have agreed that we did not much change management was done to take staff along, to explain to them the need for these changes. For instance, the issue of the IT system. Everyone agrees that there is a need to automate our services, to automate our processes. But staff in general were saying we have not been taken on board. We don't fully understand how the system works. Now, that is true. The second point is there's a resistance amongst the some of our employees to embrace change. Now, it is a fact, Honorable Chair, that the compensation fund has been a leaking tap for some time. Now, when you close a leaking tap, you affect those who are benefiting from the leak. And they will therefore, do whatever they can to sort of derail you in making whatever changes you're trying to effect in the compensation fund. So largely, this is what we're dealing with in the compensation fund.
But wouldn't that in large measure happen if you were appointed the CEO as the commissioner of the compensation fund? You're coming in as a new person.
Yes.
Into an environment where people have been working together and you want to bring about change. And then you have those kind of reactions. But in a situation where management has been there all along, yes, there will be resistance, but I'm saying the fact that they have been there all along would certainly mitigate vis-a-vis if you had just been there for 6 months into an unknown environment. Let him respond to this and I'll come back to you.
Yes, sir. Under normal circumstances, yes, but we're dealing with the issue of the culture here, which is entrenched in the organization, that this is how we do things here. And if you're going to introduce something new, which changes the way in which we do things, and we were deriving benefits from this change, from the old ways of doing things, it doesn't matter who introduces this change, whether it's a new person or an old person who has been around for some time. So remember, the compensation fund has been, its processes has been largely manual. So if it was easy for somebody who stays, let's say you want to bring claims, you could walk to the compensation fund with your claims and go to somebody who you know, then and that person will process the claims. But there are other people who, just like the honorable member has indicated, his wife, who's been waiting in the queue for a long time for services. So when you bring a system which seeks to make sure that you equalize, you balance the skills, so that everybody who's anywhere is able to get the same kind of treatment, that's the gap that I was referring to, that you're closing it. And the people that are resisting are not only people right inside the community fund. You also have people outside the community fund who are third-party service providers who are saying, for instance, the system that you have introduced is not helping them. And for us, it's important that we introduce the system so that the systems, the operations are automated. So we're dealing with a huge challenge of changing the culture of people that are at the compensation fund. I'm not, under any illusions that it's not going to be an easy exercise. It's going to be very tough, but it's something that all of us have to do.
You still have your small thing. Just let it go, because there were a number of questions that were...
No, give them. Come
back. That's fine. Yeah.
There was a question on the suspension of the CFO. I didn't quite get it. I'm sorry that the commissioner is writing it down. Sorry. it is not solving the problem of the funds that have been misappropriated. We had to act, because there are a number of other allegations. There's a list of allegations that the CFO has been accused of. And I think, coupled with the fact that when he came in, the compensation fund hoped that they were bringing somebody who who has the requisite skills and the competency to build financial capabilities of the compensation fund. What he did was to bring along, two or three service providers to assist him. And that proved to be a disaster, because what it did was to alienate the staff at compensation fund to an extent that, I mean, the key was, the objective was to transfer skills. But I can tell you now that there were no skills transferred to the finance officials at the compensation fund. So that is why it's important that we do not necessarily have to rely on consultants to do our work. We have to build the competences at the compensation fund. And that's the task that the acting commissioner and myself have, to make sure that we build competences, not only in the finance side of things, throughout the system, so that you are able to do the work that we're supposed to be doing. The issue of giving bonuses to employees, this is an area where we have started saying we need to look at the performance of the organization. And the number of people that are getting bonuses should actually be a reflection of how the organization performs. And this is the message that we have, we are now sending to our corporate services people and to the line functions, that it doesn't necessarily help to be nice to somebody and not want to interrogate the performance of an individual. And I think it's largely because of the subjective nature of the application of the of this process, how we apply ourselves to a process. Instead of looking at the actual work done, we look at the individuals. So I am certain that going forward we will address this matter, Chairperson. In fact, when I spoke to the staff of the compensation fund, I mentioned that nobody is going to get a bonus if that person doesn't deserve it. I have not gone through the list of those who got a bonus, whether they deserve it or not.
You don't get bonus if you never mind or have to work.
Chair, we will provide a list of consultants that we're using at the compensation fund as well, the date when they are... when their contracts were entered into and their expiry days. I can safely say, Chairperson, that we're not likely to renew their contracts. But we will make a determination in certain areas, I think, where we're very weak. We may need one consultant to assist us with building the key competencies. However, the reliance that we have now on consultants, I think it's not something that we're going to experience going forward. I think that management has to interact with the audit committee on a regular basis. I think that the oversight committees, they play a very critical role. And their advice is key. That's why they're there, to point out to management that internal controls in this area are not as strong as they should be. And it's our responsibility to implement their recommendations. We shouldn't even argue as to what they are saying. There's merit to it. But if they've picked it up, and it should not be the responsibility of AG to pick up these issues. It should be our responsibility as management, and that's why we are saying we're not really focusing on pleasing the AG, but what we do now is looking at the root causes of problems that we have, addressing those root causes, and make sure that we do the what comes naturally, the basic things right. And I think if we do that, compensation fund will be turned around. I'm not going to promise committee that there's going to be a turnaround strategy, because I think we've overused that. What we're going to focus on is on the key and basic things that we have to get right, the key fundamentals that we have to get right at the compensation fund, and that we will do, sir.
Which people get paid to do every month.
Yes, sir.
Okay. I just want to check with the chair of the audit committee and the commissioner if there are any points that raise that they would want to respond to.
Thank you, Chairperson. I think the question in terms of the names of the consultants, in 2014, the first lot of consultants appointed was a consortium of Quinana and Mazars. They entered the organization around May, June 2014. By the end of last year, December, they resigned after there was continuous pressure in regards to the lack of performance and delivery. And then in May this year, May 2015, the second lot of consultants which was appointed is SAVT. I fully understand and concur with the members' concerns. You know, appointing consultants was a last resort. The organization, unfortunately, could not prepare interim financial statements internally. We did not receive accurate...
What?
The organization did not prepare the interim financial
Why?
Statements.
I thought they couldn't.
Could not, yes.
What?
Well, Chair, I would believe it's a lack of technical capacity. You know, I think we need to be honest about the situation. I think while we are not desiring to have consultants, you know, running the finance unit, we also need to be honest about the capacity and the skills internally. We did not receive interim financial statements.
But we have people in the finance section employed.
I confirm, Chair, we do have warm bodies in the finance section, but I think it's important that a skills audit is done to be able to match the personnel with the skills and competencies. I think, you know, on the one side, we have a fully-fledged unit, but the output is in relation to the skills and capacities. For example, GRAP, you know, requires a number of technical interpretations. We did not see any results and delivery during the course of the year, and appointing consultants was a last resort to enable the organization to deliver on financial statements to be able to meet PSMA requirements in terms of submissions. So we fully know that it's...
So what are these home bodies doing? And what are they being paid for every month?
I think the DG spoke to that in his earlier comments that, you know, there has been a drive to ensure that we performance managed, but I think where people are not delivering, they'll have to be very strict.
I hear you. That's more broad and generalistic. But I'm saying, what then are they doing on a day-to-day basis? For which at the end of the month they are paid? Practically.
We want to find a way, what is it that we're supposed to come and help you with? because we run it two ways. We question and interrogate, but also we go back and try to find out where is the solution. Now here it's about culture. You see, that people are lazy and nobody cares. It's South Africans, you know, that's a shocking statement. Good South Africans. They don't care about this happening. So you're saying to me, from everybody that is that here looking at us, they are lazy. They don't care about what we are concerned with. You see, as a government, we see that like a lot of disillusionment that our government is not performing its own responsibilities. And you're saying that all these people here from that commissioner right down, they don't care about their way. How should we feel as people who go out, come to us and try to win the elections? And re-explain this type of situations. Now you are saying that these South Africans are lazy. They don't care. And for me, the simple point is this. In your strategy and all the other documents that you're talking to, what do you expect Parliament to do? And how long should that go? Can we work out a time frame that is more pragmatic? Is it in a month that you're going to come back here? In 2 months you're going to come back here? What is it that you're expecting us to do? You know, for my last point, you know, I'm confused. There's an audit committee that seems to be led by a very honest one. I mean, like, person, to reflect you very honestly with us. Then there's this advisory committee that's spending a lot of money, but to say it's asking the minister, or which ministry is working. Because there's an advantage to have an audit committee that talks the truth. There's a disadvantage to have an advisory committee of people who walk up and down in terms of what the auditor general is saying and not delivering. And then there's you and your own team. How does that organogram work? I know my colleague has asked, but it's just the sense of how does it work? Because you'll be able to come to a solution.
Thank you, Chairperson. We've been saying as the SCOPA members, as the SCOPA members, that there needs to be consequences for anybody who has made mistakes. And I'm really excited to the fact that CFO is suspended. But I want to solve your problem. I hope that I'll be able to solve it. The CFO has pensions, money that he has been paying to government, and somehow we have to get that pension. And I'm saying we need to take his pension or her pension and try to rectify the mistakes. The service providers that you talked about earlier on, that he brought to body, I guess it is he or she. Is it a he? I was hoping that the woman. Those service providers, I want to recommend that you terminate them immediately because you don't need them. If we have a system called employee of government, won't go do. If you are employed by government, you need to come and do what you are paid to do. And I also have a recommendation, Chairperson, that both the audit, internal auditors and Auditor General's office, they need to interact. We need to have progress on what you have done on quarterly basis, on what you have done from coming here. And this is not a standard to come to SCOPA, but it shows that we have not rectified anything or we didn't take SCOPA seriously from the recommendations that they gave, the compensation fund, today, because you are not convincing us that you are changing. And as the DG said, we are not going to come up with a turnaround strategy because they've overused the word. But we need to see what we are doing in terms of rectifying the mistakes that are there. And it's very important, DG, even though you are under pressure, but to also listen to yourself properly as you are presenting. You can't say the 8 billion rents that the honorable member is talking about, I haven't checked it, but we're going to check that and then we'll come back to the committee. Then it means that you don't know what you are here for. Because when you come to SCOPA, I think you are given exactly what you are coming here to answer to. So it's very important that before you appear here, you prepare yourself as a compensation fund. We don't want to see you here again next year.
I'm going to emphasize what Honorable Bray has said earlier on. We cannot be repeating same mistakes. And we can't repeat same mistake. And, you know, I'm going to use what somebody said last week, that you can't repeat the same thing and want to have different results when you are repeating wrong things. So please, we don't want to see here again next year, but we want to see changes. Thanks.
You don't want the job. Okay. Committee can. No, thanks, Chair. Chair, it's a list of the issues that I raised with the department. Actually, I had more, but I was not happy with the responses. That is why I had to pass the part to my friend, Honorable Case. And let me also join in liking the DG, Baron Coalition, that he is following. There is a list of transgressions that I requested, and I request that in that list you also add what is on page 113 on procurement and contract management. Because if you look at the procurement and contract management, that is the supply chain management, there are serious transgressions there. And what I request maybe the department to do is for you to give us a comprehensive report on each and every issue listed, because that is very serious. And this clearly indicates, I think if you listen to the DG, it clearly indicates to us that, to be honest, there is no department. And this is why I said earlier on, that there's no leadership, there are no systems that is in the site. And we definitely, DG, you said earlier on, if we are to get rid of everybody, that would be incorrect. But I think we'll have to do that. If we want to change, that is the image of this fund, we'll have to overhaul, that is the entire, that is staff. Because it is true, going into that environment, there are people who are used, that is, to do things differently. And when you come in and introduce systems, obviously those people are not going to listen, or they are not going to adapt, that is, to the new change. Because obviously they were benefiting. And if you are saying you want to carry them along, I'm telling you it's going to take more than, that is, 100 years to rectify the situation. I deliberately, that is in my introduction, asked the question that when was this fund established? Because I looked at, that is, the problems in this department, I mean in this fund, and they clearly indicate that they date back to, I don't know what. Now, we'll definitely have to. I agree with you, let's not use turnaround strategy in this case, because you promised us the turnaround strategy. Unfortunately, it did not bear any fruits. Maybe then we need to come up with a next plan on these issues. That this is the problem, this is how we're going to deal with it, with very clear time frames. So that as the scope, we can be in a position, that is, to measure you on all the issues that you promised us. Because to be honest, listening to you, I'm happy that finally there is somebody who can assist us in dealing with these issues. But even so, we had one DG there. She was also new in the department. She promised us that she's going to change things around. When she came back here, it was a different story. Now, I'm saying to you, please, you gave us a promise that you are going to deal with these issues. Let's develop an action plan. Let's call her an action plan. Let's measure you on that action plan. We will also assist. That is where you have that is problems about you next. Thanks.
I want us to ask questions. I want us to ask questions. Yeah, no. I'll come. I want us to ask questions so that they should talk to us. We should talk to them. They should give us information. So let us be pointed. And maybe I should not give 2-3 comrades to ask questions. Let each question be asked and be answered. Because comrade Chilwane is now complaining
that there was no response to the questions that she asked. Because there were many questions, and then you get a very broad, long general. Yes, Comrade.
No, no, Chair. You know that I appreciate you not ask, but the situation is so slippery and disastrous that it has created a problem. And the DG said he's got a turnaround strategy, and I've missed another problem. But let me go to your commissioner. You know, commissioner, you see, in parliament is a problem. You must be very careful of what you do. And it's something like calculating, you have done mathematics. Calculating is a problem. You see. Otherwise, you see why I'm picking on this particular one. It's because I want to understand you. Let's go to page 164. Yes, 164. Before I come to the fruitless and wasteful expenditure. As I want to deal with you on irregular expenditure. Now, you see, detail of irregular expenditure recoverable, not condoned, you see that one, on page 164. You see. You gave us figures that you have so much put up in litigations. I thought that this was 164%. Guys, Africans should do. It's up by the Africans. You might have. Let's go to page 164. You see, it says 71 cases recorded by investigation. And the figures you have given my colleague here this morning are not closer to what you're talking to. And I thought maybe I'm reading a totally new page. And you said the 50-something. I mean, honorable. And I'm just like, are you telling us the truth? You see? Are you being honest to Parliament? You see? Or it's in your nature to lie? You see? Or is it like that? It's here. You see, that's what the Auditor General is good about. Direct downward is true. But you are misleading Parliament. And you know when to do that, you are violating the law. So it means that the culture that the DG is talking to starts with you. And we have to deal with that. So explain to us this inconsistency in terms of your numbers. Which number must we believe in? Which cases are we talking about? Cases are in 164. It's not me. Can you come to give us a sense of how you want to deal with the fruitless expenditure this year? Chair, my last one was, I wanted to caution on the type of companies that the audit committee have raised. Maybe within the work that you want to do, can as they themselves come forward. That is it, the Kunana company. What do you call that company?
Kunana.
Kunana. Yes. Did you? Kunana. Kunana. Can we have them in front of us, sir? Because I want them to confirm what the DG is raising. Is their cultural problem? I mean, they've been there for a very long time. For them to have resigned on their own. You said they resigned on their own when they couldn't deliver. So both those companies, can we have them in front of us? And they then would be able to tell us what is the state of things. Maybe they'll have a different version. I just want to plead with the committee that let's give them an opportunity to listen to them. That's part of the solution, Chair.
But let's have this responded to. Except that DG, if you look at page 165, the last paragraph of fruitless and wasteful expenditure. Look at that paragraph. I wish you could. Fruitless and wasteful expenditure, page 164. The last paragraph. If you can afford the DG that report. Fine. I'm just saying, if you look at that paragraph, read, and then read the last paragraph at the end of the page. I'm
not computer literacy. I think they call it cut and paste. All right, but I just wanted to alert you to that. I think we just respond to what Comet Boy addressed. Just saying, it is not good. It wasn't good reflection. It is wrong. It's wrong. It's very wrong. All right, let's talk to what Comet Boy addressed.
Another member asked a question about the revenue in the prior year. I have indicated that it is the methods that we use that has put us in this situation, but we cannot account fully for completeness of revenue. And also, I have also indicated that the manner in which we are required by GRAP. We did not have the capacity to be able to be compliant with GRAP. And I've also indicated that there were attempts also to get national treasury to assist us. And one of those attempts that we were trying was to get us exempted from those GRAP requirements was to get a permission, like the South African Revenue Services and the UI, to apply what we call the basis of accounting. However, it will require for them to approve that. We must indicate to them and give them assurance that we've put in place proper systems and measures,
which you did not have,
so that we don't go back again.
I admit.
Yes.
No, what I want is that so that you don't have to belabor the point. You wanted that assurance, and that assurance was not there.
Yes.
That is what is being worked on now.
Yes.
So that's why it is stalled.
Thank you, Mr. Mkonto, for that response. I understood you when you, but I wanted to check in the absence of that assurance, why it's been working on, like, help I mentioned for the amount for the prior year, and now we're taking under the year review, and probably about around September, October, they'll be busy, we'll be busy again with a new report. So I wanted to get your own clear indication in terms of moving forward. Or are we still going to have the same situation? Are you still going to plan for your assurance that the treasury, national treasury, has wanted you to? That's my gist of my question in terms of understanding. In the absence of that quality assurance, what is it now that you're going to do for this emphasis or for this audit opinion in terms of AG not to come back again so that we are able to move forward as an AG? Thank you.
Thank you. Chairperson, in the discussions that we had with AG, it is highly unlikely that the status of the audit opinion of the conversation is likely to change. So we're likely to get the same audit findings. And that is why I made a point earlier on which I didn't put it correctly. I regret if I gave an impression that we don't like AG. I like AG. In fact, AG is helping us to get ourselves out of the mess that we got ourselves into. So we're working very closely with AG. The point I was trying to make is that if we want to correct what AG has picked up, our focus should not be to please AG, but to do the basic things right, so that AG can then say to us, yes, you've looked at the issue of the internal controls. We had it because you understand the basics.
So that's the point that we're trying to make. But we would, the compensation fund is not likely to change its audit finding, Chairperson, but we're working very hard to make sure that we change things around. There are a lot of employees of the compensation fund that are carrying. In fact, just the day before yesterday, I received a number of emails complimenting a number of our compensation fund staff who are doing excellent work in assisting the public. So not everybody in the at the compensation fund is, you know, is not doing their work. I think there are people in the different areas of for offices who are doing an excellent job. I think at the level where we have serious problems, Chairperson, is at the level of management where we're not doing enough monitoring and quality assurance in terms of the work that we do. That I admit, and we also working very hard to change the fortunes of the fund. I would like Chairperson to ask the ask Scopa and the honourable members to give us an opportunity to put a action plan together with all the challenges that have been raised here and those that have not been raised that we are aware of and that we've been working on. We'll bring this action plan to the committee, and I would like to give the, I would like to ask the committee to give us a period of 3 to 6 months to address the basic challenges that we have at the compensation fund. It may take us a bit longer to deal with the with other issues, but in the plan we will indicate what are the short-term interventions that we want to make and what are the long-term interventions that we want to make, and we'll indicate even in the long-term when are we likely to have these issues resolved. And we will then submit the plan to the chairperson. The chairperson can indicate when we must submit the plan. But we would like the plan to have a lifespan of, 6 months, so that we are able to deal with a number, whole range of issues. And these issues are not likely to be resolved in a much shorter period than that. For instance, the issue of the skills. Around the finance environment. We have commenced with a skills audit in to look at exactly who do we have at the compensation fund and whether people are correctly placed and where they are, do they possess the requisite skills and competences to be where they are. That exercise is currently underway, and we're hoping that we'll finalize it very soon, because the information that we'll glean from that exercise will help us to make sure that we place people correctly in the compensation fund. I agree that we will have to deal with the issue of the irregular expenditure and fruitless expenditure. In fact, what we've done as a starting point is to include in the APP of the entire department, especially senior managers, two things. One, we're saying we want to make sure that there's 100% compliance with financial management precepts. To that extent, compliance, eradication of irregular expenditure, we've put a target of 100%, and we have started now, with disciplinary processes, where they are, because as an accounting officer, I'm supposed to condone the irregular expenditure, and I'm asking the questions as to if I have to condone this, what happens to the person who caused the irregular expenditure? So we began to deal with those people. And on a regular basis, as and when I get the request to
condone irregular expenditure. So that's how we're dealing with it. We've put it in our APP, so we're going to monitor it on a regular basis, so that we are able to make sure that people in the positions make correct decisions, so that we don't unnecessarily incur fruitless expenditure. We will provide a list of the procurement contract, so that we'll include that to the list of the consultancies, and also to the list of the employees who have transgressed the compensation fund prescripts, who are on transparency, who have been dealt with, and the case numbers of the cases that have been reported to the police. So that's my request, Chairperson.
Oh, that's fine. We'll talk to that.
Can I just also deal with the clarity on the issue that was raised, which relates to the comment that was made by the commissioner, whether he was lying or not? I think when the commissioner spoke about the number of cases that we've dealt with, his comment was solely confined to the 40 cases that we've dealt with. The 177 are incidences relating to irregular and fruitless expenditure that have been picked up by the AG. He was talking about fraud cases that we have referred to external institutions and those that we've dealt with in the department.
Thank you, Chairperson. Before I can go on to my questions, I just want to ask the Commissioner, how long have you been in fight for the compensation fund, and what do you do exactly?
He's the former Commissioner.
Former Commissioner.
From yesterday.
So he's no more?
He's no more.
Good. Okay. Because I was going to ask, what does he do? What has he if he can explain to us exactly what he's doing. But
I'm not saying it is good that he's on about it. She's from the Free State, so sometimes she will talk in a way without necessarily saying that she's good.
No.
Yeah,
she says not to say, please leave Free State out. The DG talked about unliking that the audit outcome can change. You are honest. But again, you are changing what you are saying. You are turning it around. You can't say I'm going to manage, monitor, do A, B, C, D, but at the same time you don't believe in what you are trying to do.
Comrade Kono,
mm.
Today is the 2nd of June.
Mm.
They must have finished doing the audit on their part on Friday. So it's done already.
So that won't change.
That won't change. Actually, I expected him to say, yes, we've done it from what we have.
Yes, Chairperson, I'm asking you questions because I want him to say something good and positive when we leave this meeting. To say, you know, as much as I don't believe that this is going to change because the mistakes have happened, but this is what you, if he can emphasize, because what he's saying is just like, no, it's not going to change, but we are trying to do A, B, C, D, but it's not going to change. He does not believe it's going to change, but they are doing something. So I'm asking all this, you know, by the way, questions for him to actually say to us, I'm going to change my, because if he does not believe in what he's doing, nobody will believe it on his behalf. And we want to see changes as far as this compensation fund is concerned. And you can't see changes if you are negative. I hope you know that, Chef.
Thank you, Chairperson.
I'll come to you. I don't want a point to be lost. I'll come back to you.
I was referring to the 2014-2015. It's done and dusted, it's gone. It won't change. So our focus now is to turn the fortunes around, turn the organization, and make sure that the 2015-16 audit findings reflect a completely different situation at the compensation fund. So I'm hopeful. In fact, I believe strongly that the interventions that we're making at the compensation fund, they're going to yield positive results.
I think come the 2015-16, you'll see a totally different results. It's not going to be a disclaimer. It might get a finding, because we know that the challenges that we have with the compensation fund are going to take us some time to resolve. But we're putting our efforts, we're making sure that the picture changes completely for the better.
Okay. And what?
Chair, the DG almost preempts us with that very humble request for a 6-month plan. But I'm not convinced, because we've been down this road before. And they say hindsight is the best side. I mean, the AG speaks to talk actions that management committed to of correcting prior year matters. And quite frankly, there was no movement there. So, I think in the absence of tangible consequences, and maybe the suspension of the CFO is probably one of them, we actually start dealing with individuals and holding individuals in their area of work accountable. And if an individual is not fit for purpose and is not performing the job, and I qualify that by being deliberately so, because this seems to be happening. People just must walk off, they trust their comfort. They must walk the plank. That's the basis of the turnaround strategy and action plan. Because whilst I respect the sentiments that the DG expressed to say the majority of the staff is working well, my mind is on the chair of the audit committee, which is speaking about warm bodies. Because that is the problem. So let us arrive at a point whereby inaction and failure to perform, we attach it linked to a person. Then we feel sorry and so. Because this is a ripple effect in the chain, you know, cycle. We come here and we're dealing with the report, and we're dealing with one or two sentences in a report which say such and such was not done. But behind every sentence, there's a long chain of things and people who are earning a salary who actually should have been held accountable. So I think that is where we need to begin. And we can't deal with this tail end. Let's go back to basics. And the basic is that people must walk the plank. So the suggestion I had is that, because it seems as if internal control and the financial department here is neither here nor there in terms of capacity and capability. I think those are the people we need to engage, because I think we'll get a better assessment and a better reading of exactly what it is that is the problem there. Because these are recurring problems that have been there. Then you can come to the 6-month action plan. But let's first root out the people who are fit for purpose. Otherwise, we are building an action plan on the basis of warm bodies who, by and large, as far as I'm concerned, can be concluded to be dead wood.
I'll come to you. I'll give Kombucha and then come to you. I'm not, but let me give you DG. I thought it was making a broad statement about funding or comment or aid.
The reason that I'm requesting for the 6 months period is to exactly to what the member is saying. This is a 2013-14 report that we're discussing. And I know, and I don't like to say this, but I was not the DG at the time. And I think that it is only fair that I ask to be given an opportunity to, you know, do my best to change the way things are done at the Compensation Fund. I'm not saying that I'm not taking responsibility for the work that was done, because that work was done by the department and the Compensation Fund, which I'm the accounting officer of. But I think that I have done my assessment of what are the challenges of the Compensation Fund. And we are now you know, doing something to address the problems that we have as a community facing fund.
Okay.
Thank you, Chairperson. I'm going to ask questions straightforward to go. Sorry if you'll ask questions. Can we turn to page 122 of the annual report on the statement of financial performance? Yes, I've just highlighted a few of the items, but all of them are much more important. When you check at page 122, we've got 525.6 million which are spent on reversal of assessment, interest and penalties. If you can note that one,
wait, to see where it is.
Like on the expenditure. Yes. When you go down, there's a list of items.
All right. The fourth item from the bottom.
Yes, yes.
All right.
Okay. And then when we turn to page 123, we've spoken a lot about consulting and professional, but I think we just need to highlight the amount that has been spent on this item. You've got 583.4 million. You go, like I said, Chairperson, all of them are very much important, but I've just selected these ones which got bigger amounts. There's a triple P, I think it's a performance, public performance, credit, something like that. And then as well, you also have, on the last one, is interest on late capitalization of pension. If we can just get the explanation therefore in terms of this figure. Like I said, all of them are very much important because in the committee we deal with excellent, but I've just highlighted this one that I think they've made a huge impact on the financial performance.
Okay. Can we talk to the
figure?
I'll respond to the question. The first one, through you, Chairperson, is with regards to the reversals of assessment, interest, and penalties. Maybe first to give a context to that. Normally what happens is that, as the Commissioner alluded to earlier on, with the systems that we have in are too much manual. So most of the employers will come back to us and say, you have assessed me incorrectly. Can you review the assessment that was done in the prior years? The year under review. So what we do, if we find that there was a mistake on our part,
prior years or year under review?
Year under review. So what we're going to do is that we have to reverse that, the assessment and the interest and the penalties that we have charged the said employee. So as far as that amount is what that other year.
Yes, reversal. Yeah. Is it permanent or you reverse what you are reassessing and then after reassessing then come to a specific figure?
We revise the current what we have on paper and then we assess the employer and then from there, based on the new assessment, the employer will have to pay for the, pay the ROEs based on what has been assessed.
They're always wrong. They're always wrong.
Not
initial assessment.
No, not always.
Okay. Alright, that's fine. Let's go to the next figure. I'm saying let's go to the next figure. Consulting and professional fees, interest on, triple P, interest on late capitalization of pensions.
The consulting fees, person, I think we talked about consultants. This is the money that we pay to consultants. But you can see that most of that amount is that in that year under review, we had a debt collector who was assisting us to, which was the main cost driver, that makes almost 70% of that amount. Debt collector that was appointed by the fund and the contractor since, we didn't renew the contract. The contractor ceased to exist, as speaking, currently Chairperson. The triple P is a public-private partnership that the fund has over the years, as you know, and the DG will, I think, will explain it a little bit further. It's for the
contract that was the service provider was appointed to get the services on the IT side for the both Department of Labor and the compensation fund, and of course for the UIF. That was both those amounts that we earmarked for. So we have budgeted 150 million and we have spent almost 8 million because the contract expired during that year. Interest on late capitalization, Chapter.
Comrade, it looks like it's only Shiloh and Louis with me. Leave.
A question has been asked with four aspects. It's talking to those aspects. Please, let us give them full 100% attention.
Yeah. The interest on capitalization is what we can refer to as an opportunity cost. Just as what happened in the past.
The triple P, is it cement? No, 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 we know about cement and all the mess that you have put the government into with the cement thing, which has been there for over 10 years and has yielded nothing except to siphon money.
That's separate. The interest rate capitalization, as I said, is an opportunity cost. Is that the funds used to charge.
I'm not even sure if this cement thing is not a fruitless and wasteful expenditure. Because I don't know how you have sorted out cement since their contract ended and you had this legal dispute about whether you absorbed their employees or what. And the last time you were here, you were still battling with the legalities thereof. Okay, we'll add to that anyway.
Yes. For the interest on capitalization, this was the amount that fund charged itself for the late capitalization of pensioners. You see, if a person gets more than 31% of the injury, we're going to capitalize the money to pay them for their natural lives or their spouses. And I'm using the word spouses, you know, inverted commas, a spouse or spouses, and of course their children. So what happened is that because what happened then was to say, we have to charge the fund 1% for that in order for us to, well, when the actuaries come and evaluate the increases, we set that 1% because of the technical issues that we had, or the most of the time we were capitalizing these funds a little bit late. However, we've taken a decision as a fund that we're no longer going to charge this moving forward. We're not going to have the fund 1% of that. That's now history. We're not going to charge the fund. There's never going to be any expense called interest for the capitalization moving forward. This one is easy.
All right. Now, did you want to talk to him?
Yes, Chairperson. What you see there is the portion of the compensation fund contribution to the unitary fee that we were paying to cement as part of the triple P contract.
50%, 40%.
It's one-third of the, I think, it's one-third of the unitary fee. There's compensation fund, there's UIF, and there's the Department of Labor. The issue relating to the absorption of staff, we have absorbed, I think about, if my memory serves me well, 98, people from EOH. The consignment seized the contract to EOH. When EOH contract came to an end, we then absorbed the 98 people as part of our internal ICT capacity.
Are you making for
that? Thank you, Chairperson, and thank you for the answer. I just want to make a follow-up, Chairperson, on the you spoke about the, I think you'll also remind me, Chairperson, the debt, what is it, the debt collect, the one that you have had to deal away with. I just wanted to find out, because I remember this, it's in the consultant, yeah, I remember you were also having challenges with them, but my question, because they were not doing their work. If my name was said to me, Chairperson, you will assist me in this regard. Because I remember they weren't doing their work. But then I'm failing to understand how the commission continue to do work with them even after you have realized that they are not doing work. According to the report, that was reported when we had discussion with the fund in two years' time when we were in this committee. Because now when you check the amount that you have to part with, it's a lot of money. For something, it's just money that didn't have, you call it, we didn't have value for money for this IT person. You can remind me, I just wanted to really to talk to the issue. Because I remember this, that there was a lot of confusion around this item. But then you decided also to spend this kind of money. Even after we have realized that there's this challenge that we're facing. Thank you.
The contract was signed with a company called Nix. I think what we dispersed, I think in terms of the money we paid was around 12 and 27 million versus the recovery that it claimed they made, which is 10% of the recovery, which is supposed to be 2 point something billion.
Which they claimed?
Yes. On the premise that they recovered over 2 billion on behalf.
I'm just saying.
Yeah, I gave you that claim based on the contract.
Understand of English, if you say we paid them 200 million against their claim that they have recovered so much, it's almost as if you don't have proof of that.
In terms of the contract, there are terms in which they have to collect, terms in which they have to.
No, that's okay. What I'm saying is the money they collect goes into your account. You understand? So when they come to you and say we've collected 2 billion, are you able to say yes, we're sending 2 billion into our accounts?
Yes. There's a process which was used in order to accept the claim and pay. So
what was the process? I'm sure if the process is a little come to where I am.
Yes,
if the process you have collected 2 billion, you can confirm that you're fair. Isn't it?
No, it's true. The finance unit was dealing with that. They will submit what actions they've done, specific debtors, and this is the amount that was paid into the fund as a result of these actions, and then they will calculate the 10% of that effort, which was paid to them. It was paid in trenches, depending on at the time when the invoice was sent. Subsequent to that, there were a dispute, I think, with regards to the contract extension and some things that they had. We then requested the audit, what called the audit attorney, to intervene here in the contract definition and then extension. And the initial advice that came from the state attorney was to say comply. We then said, okay, if that is the case, there are financial implications, then if we have to comply. We then had a second opinion from the state attorney that said, you did not comply, you may terminate.
We did not comply?
No, the second opinion indicated that we should not comply with the extension.
From the
initial contract.
Yeah, I'm saying the advice came from the
state attorney. Both of them came from the state attorney.
Gave you conflicting.
Same company. Same from the attorney from the same service provider, which is Cedar Cancer. So we then agreed that we're going to terminate. So under our action of termination, then there was litigation, which we went through arbitration, and we lost the first round. And then we advised that we should apply to the High Court to challenge the arbitration outcome, which subsequently the Senior Counsel withdrew from the matter, and then the state attorney appointed another attorney. The matter is still running as I speak. The Senior Counsel advised that it would be academic to go to court, to the High Court, to challenge the early arbitration, as we did not have the affidavit to contest because one of our officials refused to sign the affidavit, the official responsible for the contract. So we then instituted a disciplinary investigation, and I've just received the outcome of that, which we will share with the DG as to what is the next action. However, the current senior counsel has indicated that we should proceed. He sees some space in which he could assist us go out of that predicament without us having to incur additional costs. So that's where we are at the moment.
I wanted to make sure that you're right. Now I want to give the sweeper so that we close the conversation.
DG, let's go to page 169, DG. Now you start dealing with the youth, the turnaround strategy, but let's just deal with facts in front of us. Now you have an expense of a venue of more than 2 million. The last one on that one. Why do we have to spend so much on venues? What is this thing of the venue? It seems to be something that is like a priority, but these are your own expenses, your open operational expenses. You don't have an office. So, now did you are telling us that there's a culture there. This is the time saying that you must be careful. There's, if you go up there, there's another amount spent on cleaning. Who's being trained? Is it the staff or somebody else? You see. And then you see this, there's another amount of around 12 million. It's called other expenses. You see, when you talk about turnaround strategy, tell us what is it, you see, that can be accounted for, that costs us so much year by year. It's called other expenses. And all these things are here, you see. And I mean, I can go on and on. I just wanted to get you to see that when you are dealing about turnaround strategy, does it imply this type of an operation? But it means something must go. It's not the people. I mean, if you're going to spend on venues, you spend such an amount. These are taxpayers' money. What is the state of things here? Give us some sense of these operating expenses that they're dealing with, so that we do know what we're talking about. And then, DJ, you know, I really don't care with the way the auditor general gets more confused. I'm confused, but I'll put it to you because it's your information. You see, on 123, your travel and expenses, that's what you have there. About 10 million. But if you go again to the same page called 169, your travel expenses go way up. How do you collaborate that? And how do you explain it to us? Who's traveling so much? Is it the board? Or is it you? Who's really traveling? And why is it that when I look at that expenses on the other side, and then I go to 169, I find another one traveling. Is it the staff members flying around? Where are they going? Travel and subsistence. Just give us a sense. Who are you talking about? These are supposed to be raising the morale. That's why then nobody wants to. We are right that it's a leaking tap. So these traveling expenses, what's going on here? Give us a clue. Who are we talking about here? Who's traveling? But why are the figures not talking to each other? You see. So that at least one is But if you look at 133, you still find the annual expense is still there. You find training, you find traveling. But when you go to 169, the figures are shot up. Now you are saying that these things have already been done and dusted. You have reported them again, the same type of an arrangement. What does this mean to your organization? You see why, Chair, our chair now, DJ, I listened to Mkho when at 4:30. And if you listen to those old ladies explain how their money is not being paid, I mean, I get worried because even this morning as I was going to the gym at 5, at 4:30 from 4 o'clock, he just phoned in and raised all the complaints and how the compensation fund is not paying them. And it's a very difficult thing to listen to ordinary people from the rural areas. And when you come to the compensation fund, you can't get a clue how this expenditure is going. So just give us something that is, and the real expenses of yours are shooting up every time, DJ. It's quite clear that you are at war too, I don't know. Well, this is what your turnaround strategy is to talk to in the coming 6 months. You must understand that the Treasury, Minister of Finance, talked to us about cutting down the expenditure of government. They wouldn't let me to use the word austerity, but this type of an environment doesn't encourage. You see, how are you going to deal with it? I can go on and on, because the cost seems to be more. And then the one part that I wanted to advise was, I don't know how far we could go, the Public Service Commission Chair, rather than what you are telling us, DJ, if I was the DJ, I was going to go to the Public Service Commission and say, look at this organization and look at this personnel, because that's their job, you see. Would you like to talk to the Public Service Commission about this? So they assist you, but talking to the DJ, my brother, now you see, I'm a sweet. I mean, you see, for me, it seems as if your mechanism of trying to resolve is more internal looking. And if you look internally, you take this other one, you'll end up with this one body that you have. You have got an advisory, you've got the audit, you've got the misconduct. You know, you create structures, but there are three creating structures amongst yourselves. Can't you look at other institutions of government to provide this type of assistance where you're not going to spend a lot of money, you see? But now, I mean, anyone that you get amongst yourselves there, it won't be a problem. They won't never be able to be a plan of change. The Public Service Commission has got a constitutional obligation to tell us what is going on in your organization. If you can't, we'll make a recommendation ourselves as Parliament that let's deal with this. Because we can't continue having the same problem. Somebody that will give me aware that even last year you have been doing this skills auditing and you said it was rich. Now what are you going to do? And it's also a member of Parliament. He's listening to our conversation. He says they have done it last, I mean in the past year. Why would we repeat it again?
Right. Can we respond to that? I thought we were done. Okay. I will let's have a response to the issues raised by Comrade Boy.
Thanks, Chairperson. I will respond to
okay.
The question.
Alright.
Probably let's start with the issue around prevalence assistance, why the figures are talking to each other.
Maybe more why the figures are up.
Yes, I'll check in and then I'll go that way. On page 123, that is our statement of appropriation. That is the budget. The 58 million that the Honorable Chair, the Honorable Member is talking about, is the budget. And of course, the expenditure is the 48 million, 205,000. The reason why we see...
I want to see the men talking here.
The amount there, Chairperson, is very because we decentralized this stuff to the respective provinces. As you know, the compensation fund was based in Rwanda. Most of the functions were based in Pretoria, and we felt that it was in the best interest
that we decentralize the functions to other provinces, Free State, Limpopo, Northern Cape, etc. So now, when you decentralize people, obviously you need to, before, you have to, they have to travel, and obviously that's why our expenditure from 2013 to 2015. And then, on the issue of other expenses, what makes that? Remember, in terms of grab one, there are figures that we have to disclose if they're, you know, say bigger or whatever, look for a better English word, I don't want to use the other English word, but let's say, looking at how the figure looks like. So now, on other expenses, those are the expenses that we don't have to
look on. Can I see the gentleman? Continue.
Basically, those figures, well, those amounts that we have not yet to disclose, for example, your marketing, your telephone, all those are lumped as other expenses. If you want a breakdown of person I can provide, I don't have a problem. What makes the 57 million? Because then, if we're going to have to disclose 10 every night item, then we're going to have 1,000 pages of this book. So I don't think for us to... I thought that you are aware that I took to members of parliament.
Yes.
What can be said by you? Can you break down? Tell us what are you doing with that money? Other expenses.
All
right. That's the people tell us. But you're not talking to some other people, but you to ask questions and you give answers. You're not the auditor general, give us an answer what you want there.
All right. No. I think Congress, if we Are you on page 123 or 159?
159.
159. Where are the expenses? Oh, okay. I have it. Yeah. No. I just want to say, that in all the annual reports, when you look at operating expenses, you are more likely to have that item, but it is correct to say what is contained in it, so that you don't go and buy fed books and lump it there. I'm understanding him to be saying he can give us a breakdown. When I say give us, I'm talking about you can send us a breakdown. Is that correct?
That's what it
is. All right. No, it's fine. I think it will be good. Tumbi, you know that. Let's have that breakdown so that we can be satisfied ourselves. 7 million, that's a lot of money. If I get it, I'm set up for life. All right. I want to give Comrade Kuno so that we round it off.
Yeah, the same page, the employee cost, is what you are tracking to part of the employee cost as well, if you can explain that. Reimbursement to National Department, who is reimbursing National Department and what is it called? But Chairperson, earlier on, that's why I went up with Ben, because I wanted to understand more. It's important that when we have legislation, we look into other departments or the legislation that has been passed by government, for instance, and make sure that we are still on board. This legislation was passed in 1993. This is what they are basing their compensation fund on. But as early as 5 years ago, the Department of Health has not yet come up with a definition of injuries, whether serious injuries or your injuries as a whole, and accidents and all that. So I think that's the reason why you find that other employees are fighting, you know, you can't take this off and all that, because that has not been taken care of. I just want to ask the DG, as far as trying to consolidate or work together with other departments, if they've tried, because there are legislations that have been passed after 1993, to date, as far as injuries are concerned, have you looked into those legislations, and how far are you to actually deal with it and make sure that at the end of the day, everybody is treated fairly. For instance, when you say prevention of accidents, I'm done with that. But page 167, page 169, prevention of accidents, how do you prevent it? I think we need to know how do you do that? So that I think if it's an education that you need to take to people out there, people who have voted up here, we really need to do that, because I really want to know about this prevention of accidents. Thank you, Chair.
Yeah. The last one. Yeah, let's talk to that, and also the last question. Alignment, the health is well involved somehow. With the compensation commissioner for occupational diseases, I think that is in health and not in labor, but it's all well related. But let's start there on the issue of venues. Clarify, how do we come to in care millions in 12 months?
That's a pressure. On the issue of venues expenses, yes, indeed, this relates to the meetings that are held outside the CFR offices. Sometimes it's practical, given the boardroom that we have, to have those which is within the conversation house. Some of those meetings, we have to have them outside for specific reasons, obviously. And as part of this, for people to understand, maybe to link it to the question of the investment national department, is that as a compensation fund, there is a portion that you can own on behalf of the Department of Labor. That's an arrangement that has always been there. To say, we do some other things like we have got the Director General, be the Director General for both entities, that is UIF and compensation fund. So obviously, for other things that is for Department of, for compensation fund, we need to reinvest the National Department of Labor. National Department, we are referring to the Department of Labor.
How many meetings more or less are we talking about? Yeah, no, I'm asking about this because this is a meeting. Yeah. How many meetings more or less are we talking about? And are these meetings of management or what?
To quantify the number of meetings, I didn't quantify it as yet, but I can try to quantify that how many meetings with management had outside. But remember that other meetings we also have with board members outside. And other meetings, as I said, are held at the Department of Labor. We pay for the split percentage on that one. So I need just to get the figures correctly. But I've got all the figures. That is the 3 million.
Can we help that as well?
Yes, you can help that.
Yes, to... Just for us to understand, because when you're building, when we visited you, we met there in your offices, and there were many of, I'm sure, more than 50 or something like that. You had adequate space. Now, this management has to go and meet somewhere and incur expenses. That's something. So if you can say, this was a meeting, it was a board meeting, such and such a place, this was management at such and such a place on such and such a day, this is what it costed us, then so that we can have a sense of how it has come to that. DG, the issue around alignment and...
Yes, thank you, Chair. We have already started with the review of the compensation fund legislation. And the process is we will be sending the document for discussion at the clusters. So the review looks at, because this is a legislation that has been around since 1994 and has not, I think in some instances, have been overtaken by a number of developments in terms of how we handle pensions and all that. Also, what we wanted to do was to align it with the Department of Health, the ODIMWA compensation fund, where they deal with the with issues relating to lungs. So what we have done is the commissioner of that fund sits in the compensation fund board, so that whatever the compensation fund does, there's alignment in terms of how issues are dealt with. But the second point relates to the integration of post competencies in the country, because the discussion included integrating all the compensation fund competencies to be under one fund. Now, there was a process that was started by the Department of Labor, and we were in the process of, in fact, we contacted Deloitte and Touche to develop a business case. The national policy was developed, and I think in 2009, we then got an instruction that the process, we must just apply brakes onto the process, because what we were going to do, we were going to integrate everything under the Department of Labor. So that's where we are. I know this matter keeps coming up, the issue of different compensation, whether it's fair to have different rates, and I think there was legal judgment to that effect, where some employees in the mining sector were compensated less because their rates are lower than what the compensation fund is using. So there are discussions that are taking place to make sure that finally there will be integration. But I think it requires also a political involvement. If we were to get instruction from our principals, we'll speed up the process so that there is proper integration. From our side, I think as officials of the Department of Labor, we're ready when such an instruction is given to us.
All right. I would want us to leave it at this. Just to remind comrades that tomorrow, Mark Building, M15, that's where we're going to get briefing by the Auditor General on the public service sector as well as the local government sector. But before we close our files and books, DG, let me check. Amongst the people you have from the fund, somewhere at the back, is there someone from internal audit? You are from internal audit. What did you say your position was?
Director internal audit.
So you are in charge of internal audit?
Yes.
Which, in terms of this report, is actually not functioning fully. In terms of the report under review, the unit that you are heading is not performing. Or is it performing?
The unit is performing. It says that there is a slow rate of implementation of the management action, as alluded.
So it's not you. It is management that is not responding to your audit funding.
Yes, sir.
Okay, I'll come back to that. I just want to say, DG, that maybe if we could get a breakdown on the fruitless and wasteful expedition. What happened? Comrade. But they can't be listening to us talking. The breakdown on the fruitless and wasteful expedition. What constitutes that total? What had happened? When? Who was involved? What amount? Where are we in terms of investigation and action? Same thing with the regular expenditure. We want a detail of each of those transactions. What happened, when, which companies were involved, where are we in terms of investigation. Now, lastly, if, on your request for time to develop an action plan, of course, we are interested that things would not just end here. We would want to work with you until you are out of the wood, meaning therefore that we want to keep close to check on progress. So, yeah, we do want to get a sense of what it is that you will be doing. But, you see, my only worry is that we are starting now, saying let's develop an action plan now. Instead of, we have developed an action plan, this is what we want to do. Now, based on the things that have been raised here, we are going to make additions to the plan. Otherwise, it's like we are being reactive. And without knowing what you, what was done in the department, I felt it was you. I wanted to say ambush us. I want to say preempt. Because only yesterday, there was a change of guard. So you come here and say, no, from yesterday, Gondo is no longer the commissioner. He's out with a new commissioner sitting there. So whether that was done to prevent us or it was just part of your normal plans, uninformed by what we have planned, we don't know. But like I said, your 2 minute statement was quite disarming. With a new management team, everybody's out now with new people. So, what becomes the value of this engagement? Because we have new people who are going to start on a team set. But be that as it may, I don't know, the management that you have shifted, they are still part of the compensation fund. So horizontal movement. They are back in the department. Or UIF? No, okay. No, that's fine. I think maybe we need to agree on the conceptualization of the action plan. I don't think that it should take us more than a month to say this is the action plan. So you send it to us. And then in the action plan, all the identified items, that's the time frame. In terms of this one, we'll address within this period. This one, we'll address within this period. And all of it taking us, and then let's have a major review in December before we go for Christmas. Don't we? Just know that. We will come back again, and then let's talk to the issues. I'm just trying on the last one. Yeah. Okay. I was looking for the audit committee report, and I see that indeed the committee remains concerned about the lack of progress on the implementation of management actions to address audit findings, which then confirms what the lady at the back said. So, our problem maybe was not the staff, it was management that could not be effective and efficient in it, in doing its monetary work. But I think maybe let's leave it all in the context of the action plan, because then that will become a roadmap in terms of how we do things. So, by when do we intend to have a permanent commission? Because the gentleman here is effective.
We hope, Chair, that by the end of July, August, we would have a commission.
Okay, that's fine. Let's say that of your action plan. So it will be part of those that will be resolved quickly. That will assist in laying down the foundation. Right, comrades, we thank you very much. The Auditor General's office, thank you very much. And the Rev DG, unfortunately, we welcome you to your position. Country. Well, it's your job. We're hoping, and I'm personally interested, but it will depend on the committee and our program. Based on what you will be saying to us in terms of program, the appetite to come up and see for ourselves is very important, especially around the issue of the backlogs, because in Zuma Zamba near color, but there are many Mazambanans all over the country. And we're dealing with vulnerable people. And institutions dealing with vulnerable people, I mean, in the UIF, I hope to touch base with you. I got some very negative reports last week about some of the offices here in Cape Town, about how they treat not people, but elder people, grown-ups, you know, what they're looking for services. How do we ensure that the spirit of the National Development Plan is not only in our head, but also in our heart, so that whatever we do, we know we are part of the builders who are building the nation. Whatever we are doing is supposed to contribute positively so that the organic growth of the country. I think for me, that's what I'm not finding in all the wrong things that are happening. They're happening because there's a disconnect between the political expectation of our civil servants. I don't have to say administrative cadres because they're conscious. But how it's supposed to be. They get paid every month, they even get bonuses. But where is the output? And are we outraged? No. Business as usual. It can't be. It shouldn't be. Somebody should be outraged. That's the only way we can change it. We can't do anything here. We can talk to you. It's a question of power. We can't come and complain to people. We can only make you aware what Parliament is concerned about and say this is what we expect you to do. Not out of our personal wishes, but because the law says this is how things must be done. So let's get a new page, which must be better. Let's see forward movement in terms of how the completion fund is being administered. All right, great, fine. Let's tomorrow 3:15 must be ready.